day and that you've made it so plain. Yeah, I just appreciate God, but I wanted to give him a praise report because, you know, I had said about last time about my sister and the test, and when I read her report, it looked like she had no cancer. Well, they went in and they checked again both sides of the lung, and they said it is so minor that, and I said, this is the power of the spoken word with the bride.
Yes.
I said, I believe there's going to be no cancer there or just a week of radiation and it'd be gone. They said 5 days and she'll be healed.
Come on now.
There'll be no cancer. 5 days.
Amen.
But I thank God because, I mean, before it looked so grim. Chemo, surgery wasn't an option. But I appreciate the Lord for what he does.
Amen.
What we get in here is real.
Yes.
And the answers to our prayers are real.
Yes.
And we don't minor on that because we have such a major with the word. But I thank God, and I want to give him praise for everything he's done for me.
Amen.
You deserve
beautiful.
The glory.
Amen.
He does deserve the glory for everything he's done for us. I hope I can say it. You deserve the glory and the honor. Oh, I lift my hands in worship as I bless your holy name. You deserve the glory. A year since my accident. I've been off oxygen and I can sing. I can give him praise with every breath I have. I can raise my hands. I couldn't raise my hands a year ago. I'm so grateful for everything he's done. But more important, I'm grateful for what he's given me with this word.
Amen.
I'm thankful as well. You know, the natural types of spiritual. And I enjoyed the trip. It was a wonderful experience. You know, I looked at in the natural how at the front of the bus, we had our pastor, our deacons, and I had the pleasure of being nearby. And it was a wonderful experience. I thank God for the organized. It was so organized. It was a lovely trip for me. And it, for me, it was a reset. Brother Moore said, don't go down there. Enjoy yourself. And we did. And not take, there's got to be a takeaway. It needs to mean something to you. And it did.
Amen.
And when I got back, I was like, oh my God, husband said, how was it? I said, I had a wonderful time. Just a wonderful time. And I can talk from, I'm going to back my mail from where I'm at. Because I was getting a little complacent. You know, I was, to be honest. And kind of you go through the, you do this, you do that, you do this. But for me, it was just a hard reset. It just kind of made the word looks richer. It was rich, and we had a wonderful time. And I didn't see spirits flying, or just to sit on a bus with that many people and not get a little prickly. and get a little something going on. You know, I'm around people. I sit in an office, and there's three, four desks. There's three desks. And I can tell you, boy, do people get upset about this or that or the other. Right. And I'm just like, God, I just always want my spirit to stay right. Because people start going through changes, and I just want to be, you know, flexible. Right. And I am. And the people say that about you. But when I want to manifest Christ. Amen. In all aspects of my life. Thank you, Brother Moore. Thank you for all the work that was done in preparation. It was a lovely trip, and I thank God.
Yes, thank you.
Amen.
Sing page 155, Food in the Storehouse.
Go ahead. Oh, I just am so happy to be here right now. So many things are going through my head. You know, that really was a trip of a lifetime. And but you know what? I still need more word. I still got to come here and eat. I still need to eat, you know. There were so many good things said, but I still have to move forward. I still must keep eating. And, you know, I love your testimony, sis, because that just builds my faith, you know. And, there, you know, like I said, there's so many things that were said that I took home because I didn't come back the same. Something happened to me. You know, I'm not the same person. I actually tried to stay in the house all day long Monday, but it didn't work because I had needs to go buy somewhere. And so, like, you know, that scripture, you know, that says, rejoice not because these spirits are subject to you, but you know, rejoice because you've seen your name, you know? Oh, I see in my name because I put it there. I signed my name right there. And I'm not the same. And, you know, all the people that I've met from then till now, it just confirms, you know, who I am, because they come to me. I don't go to them. I have needs to go and get things, you know. I got to go to Kroger's. I got to go to the gas station. I got to buy some tools or whatever materials I got to do to do my job. But in between that time, God does the miraculous.
Amen.
And it's so exciting just to be outside. You know, these spirits, they don't even want to deal with me. They don't know what to do with me because I'm so happy because I got a revelation. That rock came back with me. It goes with me. It just flows water, life-giving water. It doesn't matter who comes to drink. That's what I know I am. That's what he told me that I am. I'm so confident in that. Man, oh my goodness. I'm so stirred up, but I just get on the side. Let somebody else get it.
Amen.
Food in the Storehouse.
There's food in the storehouse. Our day. There's food in the storehouse.
the testimonies about the trip, and I thought, you know what? Everybody had a great time. I thought, we probably don't need to hear any more about it, but you know what? That was amazing. Oh, yeah. And I want to give my two cents on it. And what I saw there, I mean, Brother Fred is just amazing. Just so much love that he had for you and for all of us that went. I had this one lady, she told me, she's like, I said, I love you, sis. And she goes, I love you more. I just met her, you know, that day and was worshiping her. And I was just thinking back there, what it's going to be like when we get to heaven. So many other bride that we don't know. And I mean, even here in Ohio or whatever, but you know, sometimes you, like you say, you don't really think outside the box. And that trip meant a lot to me. I always kicked myself because I didn't get to go when you and Doug went, and I should have put my foot down with work and said, I'm going for 3 days or whatever, but they were very special. And I was just thinking about what they said, you know, what was my take on it. And since I've come back, I've listened to that song, God Is My Everything, like 50 or 100 times.
Amen.
I even woke up in the middle of the night last night singing it. I don't know if I was singing it out loud, but you know, I think that is, he's my rock. Yeah. He's everything. He's joy in my sorrow. Amen. He's hope for tomorrow. Yeah. I mean, his word gives me every single thing that I need. And, you know, I was thinking about that prayer line that we had, and my hand is, you know, sometimes it comes and goes, whatever. God's healed it. I know that. I'm not even worried about it. It hasn't even bothered me at all today. But I was thinking about my daughter. She's got a problem with her eye, and she's had it for months. And, I mean, her eye is distorted even now. It's swollen, it's red, and they're saying it's this, and they're saying it's that. And I even thought, I haven't even really been bothered with it a whole lot because I know who made that eye.
Amen.
And, you know, I just thought, I'm going to bring it before the body. And, amen, you know, amen. Yeah, because you guys believe
touch
with me.
Eyes.
And, you know, I need to start speaking some things, I guess. Right, you know, God's going to clear. And I even told her, I said, it's just going to be something minor. They haven't found one thing in these tests. She's had chest x-rays, and they're testing for all the big things, you know, now. And I know she's fine. But
amen.
Just thankful, so thankful. And Don and John, I mean, from the smallest detail, you guys had everything together. And I just want to give you guys flowers. It was beautiful.
Amen.
I was thinking this when you were playing your violin. Just what a beautiful testimony your life has been. And Brother Fred, he was closest to me, and he bypassed me so he could go give her a big hug, which was adorable. You know, just you both, your testimonies, how you walk.
Amen.
The people that have turned you down, Brother Moore, and I'm not saying it's anyone from there, but maybe so. I don't know, because you don't tell us. You know what I mean? But I just appreciate your testimony, what you do for us, and how you want us to behave. And live.
What an example.
What we want to show the world.
That's right.
I loved it. It was great. I had fun with everyone.
Amen. You have to be quick here. You know, I've been wanting to testify since I first got here, but you know, I was just thinking how good God is. You know, something happened this week. Your life happened, and you know what I mean? And I almost didn't make it today. But then I was like, I'm going to rearrange everything and make sure I can get to church because this is where I get my rest, my peace.
Amen.
You know, I was like, I told your mom, I was like, it'll be nice to just sit down and have that, you know, that word. And, you know, from my mom's testimony to all the sisters' testimonies, I didn't even have to get up and shake it off. I mean, it was shook off for me.
Amen.
You know, I love this thing so much. And
amen.
I super enjoyed our trip. You know, I love hearing what everybody else got out of it, you know, because we all got something different. That's the way it works. You know, I really, really, really enjoyed the music. I thought it was like a surround sound choir. Like the people around me, and they were swaying and they were dancing, you know, and they were such kind people. I mean, just lovely. And it is nice to see people. I've been sheltered my whole life. I've been here in Fairborn my whole life, and, you know, I haven't really been out. And it was such a blessing to go. And, you know, the bus ride, it was a trip of a lifetime. I will remember those things forever.
Yes.
And, you know, it was nice to take my kids. And, you know, we came home at 3:00 in the morning. That's late. Most people wouldn't do that with their kids.
Right.
But, you know, you put God in them, you know, getting them to church.
That
like
is
even,
the truth.
Even today.
Amen.
With everything happening, they see that we put God first. You know, and that's what I want to put in my life. I want, like, I think about Sister Teresa a lot. And you, her testimony was she loved God. Amen. You know, I don't want my testimony. I want when you look at me, I want every one of you to know that I love God. Yeah. He is my everything. You know, another thing is I love my husband. I always want to say that. And I'm just so blessed and grateful for the stuff he puts in our home, you know, just all the way down, all the things, you know. Yes. And I just want to take a second to thank God. You know, that's what I want to be, to do more, to do my everything. Amen. You know, like I always say, this is my life, and I mean that, and I always want to portray that, and that's just, that's what I want to do.
Amen. Amen. That is true.
I really did very much enjoy the trip. You know, it's good to see somebody else that can worship in spirit and in truth.
Amen.
You know,
Amen.
I mean, for years, it looked like we was about the only ones. You know, you go out and, they're pretty shallow. Go over here, they're pretty shallow. But, you know, of course you learn to judge a little bit better than you used to.
Right.
But then again, you see people really, really, really stepping up. You know, not just spirit,
right,
but truth, Amen. Revelated truth.
Come on.
And, you know, if anything we've seen this year is, you know, we've seen this not done in the corner. There's a bride
Amen.
That's living that
Amen.
Don't have to come to Fairborn.
Nope.
You know, and that's beautiful to
yes.
see.
Yeah.
That's beautiful to see. And I really appreciate the, you know, there's only one in South Carolina.
That's
for sure.
Come on,
that's
right.
They are special.
Amen.
Really special. Too much talent in one place, I think.
Right.
But we go there and enjoy it, and I'm identified.
Yeah.
I may not be able to sing a lick, but I'm identified with
that's
those
right.
who can. I may not be too spiritual, too, you know. Don't know what to call it, but, you know, get into it or whatever. But I know those who do, and I appreciate the bride.
Amen.
You know, I appreciate it, that it's a many-membered bride.
Amen.
And I've seen a lot of them this year. You know, and that's good. That's encouraging.
That is encouraging.
You know, that lets you know God is real. More
Amen.
Real than what you thought.
Amen.
You know he's real, but now you know he's even more real than what you thought he was.
Oh, yes.
So I really appreciate it. And we got a couple new songs to learn, I think.
Yeah.
Amen.
Amen. Let's sing page 188. Look what the Lord has done.
Just look.
I think it's key of G. Yep, G.
Look what the Lord has done. Just look what the Lord.
He
Amen. We'll sing one more. We're in this church, 163.
Amen.
Amen.
163.
I have no idea what I want to say, but I am so thankful that I had the opportunity to go on that trip. It was so many things, I can't even get them all out right now, but, you know, just going to see another church praising the same name that we are. And this is kind of funny because we've gone down to Kentucky, so I was expecting a white church. And we got down there, I'm like, we are in South Carolina. So it was just refreshing. I mean, everyone comments that we have multi-races in this church, and it's a beautiful thing. But just to know that there's a church down in South Carolina that believes this message. And it just felt, you know, I've flown in, I've gotten a car and gone to Kentucky. But to get on that bus with the body, and this is so small, but it meant something to me. We all had on these T-shirts, and it just felt like we was a family going down the road to praise God, and it just doesn't get any better than that. And I'm thankful, Pastor, you know you did that trip. That was top shelf right there. If he hasn't told you about that other bus, this was top shelf. From the hotels to the food to the, you know, the food in South Carolina. I mean, I just felt like I was part of this body, and I appreciate that. I really do. But one of the biggest things that I got, it was so many, but one of the biggest things I got is, when you praise God, you give it your all.
That's right.
And that's what they did down there. They gave it their all. I was sitting next to the choir. I didn't know it. I was like, okay, let me just tone down a little bit. And I asked them, are you part of the choir? She's like, yes. And I knew that, but it didn't stop me from praising what I had. And I appreciate it because I could kind of blend in a little bit better, but it was the best experience. Yes. And it was a trip of a lifetime. And I'm so thankful I was able to go.
Amen.
Thank you. We're in this church. It's Key G.
Caleb.
I'm sorry. I want to say something real quick. I love the trip. It was a blessing for both Alex and I. And I got something out of it that really helped me. That I had to kind of, for me, I kind of had to repent about it. I was supposed to play the flute. I bought the flute. I took it in on Saturday, and I sat there the whole time shaking in my boots. After I heard them, I'm like, I can't get up there. So I was so nervous the whole time thinking, I have to get up there and play. And I'm like, I can't play that good. I can't, you know, I wasn't at that level. And I thought, I'm so nervous. And I sat there, and I was so nervous. I was so glad I bought my inhaler because I thought I'm gonna have an asthma attack because I was, you know, and I was holding out to him. I'm like, I can't get up there, And he just, you know, was trying to calm me down. And so I was so glad he didn't call me up that day. So the next day, Sunday, I said, okay, I bought my flute, and I put it on the bus, but it was at the overhead inside the bus. So I thought, okay, we don't need it. They're not going to call us. And they did yesterday, so I'm in the clear. If I need it, I can go back to the bus where the bus left. So Sister Clarice was looking for me, Sister Riley, and I'm sitting there, and they're like, where's your flute? Pastor Moore wants to play. I'm like, I didn't. It's on the bus. So we went out to look for the bus. The bus was gone. And I said, Lord, forgive me. And I felt so bad. I had to apologize to Sister Clarice. I said, I'm so sorry. I didn't mean to leave you high and dry. I was supposed to play with her, but she did a beautiful job.
She did. She represented well.
She did. And I said, you sound beautiful without me. And but on that note, what helped me was that listening to that music, it was something I grew up on, that style of music, that was in me. And Alex knew, he knows how I want to play. And I'm like, that's it. Mm-hmm. So before that, I had found so many things backtracking to how I want to play the flute. I'm like, that's it, and I found it. Yeah. But on that note, I said, I want to be able to play different styles, not just one style. Right, I want to open myself up to all kinds of things, because God's in a lot. Yeah. not just that style. So on that note, I said I learned a lot that if God wants me to do something, I have to be there to do it.
Amen.
And I said I can't back down from my fears. I have to step out a little bit. And I said, well, Lord, it was a lesson for me that next time I have to get out of my insecurities and my fears.
Amen.
And I said, you know, I want I take this serious being up here. I've never done this before. I sat on the back row in church for I don't know how many years on the back pew and I did nothing. I said, well, it's time for me. I have a job. It's time for me to do something. So if it's the flu, so be it. I want to learn more. I sit back here, some of the songs I don't know. I'm picking it up by ear. I play by sheet music. I don't have it. Well, it's helping me to do it. So, y'all hear Mary have a little lint. I'm sorry. but it's helping. So I said, you know, I'm taking flute lessons now because I want to be better. I want to play more skillfully, not for me, but for the body. I want to do it for God. Right. So I want to play better. I take this seriously. So wow. I just want to say that. So thank you.
Yes. Beautiful.
We're in this church.
We're in this church, this glorious church. We were born, we've had a new birth.
Dear God, thank you for everything. Thank you for that revelation, Lord, that I couldn't join this church. I couldn't earn my way into this church. Lord, I had to be foreknown of you, predestinated, and God, to get a new birth. By one Spirit, we're all baptized into the body. And Lord, thank you for that revelation. Thank you for another opportunity to come to the house. Thank you for the testimonies, Lord. Thank you for blessing us with a wonderful trip. And as we approach the preaching part of the service, have your way and preach to us and answer questions. You know what we need. Lord, thank you for touching the prayer requests, Lord. And I know I've heard many requests, Lord. We're still believing, standing on your word, looking any moment for the next result to take place.
Yes, yes.
Be with the body. Can't wait for Sister Anna's eyes to be open.
Yes, yes.
Can't wait to hear Brother Trevor's fully recovered.
Amen.
Can't wait to hear all the testimonies. And Lord, you're more than able. Oh, we might as humans have to stress and strain and worry about it and wonder when it's going to happen, but it's just like a snap of a finger for you because you've already paid the price. Heal and move and touch. Once again, Lord, thank you for this opportunity. Have your way. In Jesus Christ's name we pray and ask. Amen. You may be seated. Good to see everybody. Nice to travel with everybody. Had a good time. Before I get into that, you know, we've got a couple announcements here. You know, we've got the Thanksgiving dinner coming up the Sunday before Thanksgiving. I think that's November 20th. So let's remember that. I think we'll probably start hearing some announcements of what we need to bring there. So be ready for that and do your part. We also got a Christmas recital that we're going to try to do with some of the people that are younger than me. I don't know what to call them anymore. Younger. But what we're going to do is tomorrow we're going to have a first practice. We're going to take some of the older kids and some of the people that are going to organize this and create some plans and do some things at 7 p.m. And then the rest of you, like the Andrea and Caleb's kids and you know, the Bonds, if they want to be part of it, we'll get you in the next few practices as we get going. And I think probably in Sunday school they'll practice a few songs too here and there to help you along the way. But just look for those announcements. But our first practice is tomorrow at 7 for the older and the organizers. And then we'll let you know where the next practices are. But it's good to be here. And I'm like everybody else. I enjoyed the trip. As like everybody, there's probably a lot of things I took away from the trip. And, you know, one of the first things that kind of stuck out to me is it was like I'd seen a friend I hadn't seen in a while.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and it wasn't work to make that happen. It was just kind of by nature connected, you know. I remember one time in high school, there was a friend I had, and we became close in seventh grade, and his dad was in the military. They moved away, and he moved back, and I didn't have a clue. And somebody told me he was back when I was probably a senior in high school. And I went looking for that guy the minute I heard that. And I remember when we saw each other, we just were so excited. And that's a little bit how this felt, you know. It was like, I'd seen some of these, and you didn't even have to see them before, you know. You're believers. And that's really what we have in common anyhow, as we always say. But even some of them, you know, I forgot what year it was exactly, but I think they told us 2003 that they were up here. So it was good to see them again and fellowship with them. And, you know, for many years, and by God's leading, you know, we hadn't gotten out to a lot of services like that and fellowship across many things. Some of it was God's leading. Some of those people didn't want to fellowship with us, the combination of both things a little bit. But, you know, this year God said water in, water out. And by the leading of the Lord, we got to go down and enjoyed it, you know. And it's good to see other believers. You know, and whatever God leads, well, we see a lot more believers than I, it doesn't matter, but if I fellowship with some people from Bluffton, Ohio, and I fellowship some people from South Carolina, I'm going to enjoy it.
Yes.
And I certainly enjoyed seeing them, and it touches you in multiple ways. You know, I think we're all going to talk about that music for a while. But, you know, I'm glad God's a God of variety.
Yeah.
You know, and we all know that when they can play music, they can sing. I wouldn't even try to act like we're that good. But I will tell you this, that, you know, as we always say, we're all supposed to be who we are. And God's never wanted everybody the same anyhow. You need the different mixtures and the different ways of doing things. And or it wouldn't be a God of variety. It would just be manufactured. If we tried to match everything they did, it would just be manufacturing. We want to do what God wants us to do. And I'm glad to be able to say that. Because, you know, personally, for me, you know, dealing with some of these people, it's been a good reminder. You know, there's things you can do different. You can sing different. You can worship different. You can live different. Well, on down the line, whatever it may be. Because eternal life is what you do for others. And it's been a nice reminder for that. But at the same time, when I say that, though God might be working on me, there's no condemnation. There's no, I'm not good enough, or there's none of that. It's just, I have a desire. My desire is to respond to the Word of God, to respond to what God is calling for in my life, whether it be by the preaching, whether it be by the examples in the body, or whatever, by testimonies. I believe the Word of God.
Amen.
I love God.
Yeah.
See, that's the one thing you cannot outdo me on. And we all should be able to say that.
Yes.
You can't outbelieve me. You could. I don't care how revelated, how much information on the revelation you have. You might have more information on the revelation I have. But you cannot outbelieve me on the revelation. I got the same revelation you have on the one side of the coin. You might have more information on the other side of the coin, but there's only one revelation. Much information. And when the Word of God comes across my path, I believe it as good as anybody else does, because I'm a believer. And I'm going to tell you another thing. You can't love the Lord any more than I love the Lord. This is my very life. I like seeing other people because I'm thinking, Lord, this is what I'm meant to do. This is what I'm really here for, is to serve you. All these other things are just added benefits. But Lord, what are we here to do but manifest the Word for the hour and finish this job and get out of here? And I enjoyed the services. I enjoyed the preaching. I enjoyed the closing from Brother Mullins.
Yeah.
I enjoyed fellowship with the people a little bit. We got to do it. So it was a trip of a lifetime. It got titled properly. And it was good to get down there, and now it's good to be back. No place like home. Enjoyed the preaching, both services that I was part of. And Brother Moore spoke on, you must be born again. And, you know, a crowd like that, it was interesting how he's started it off, because it's so true. You know, you think you must be born again, and preacher's been preaching for a while. You say, man, we've talked about that a lot. That's just a foundational ABC almost thing to us in some ways. I'll finish my point here, but it's the most important thing you can happen to you. You have to be born again. You know, at work, you know, because I was thinking about this, and this all, we'll get to preaching here, but when we write our quality documentation, we use two words. We use shall and should. Shall means you have to. Should means you might. Well, when the Bible says you must be born again, that's not like should. That's not like you might. That's not like maybe. That's not like I might do it or might not. That is, you really must. It has to happen, or you will not see or understand the kingdom of God.
Amen.
So you can go to church all your life and live good and do a lot of things, but if you're not born again, you will not see the kingdom of God.
Amen.
You have to be born again.
Amen.
But Brother Moore was, you know, talking about the simplicity of that. But by the time he was done, I thought, man, he preached the new birth like I ain't never heard it before. And that's the way God does it.
Amen.
He does that with every topic, every title that we ever give.
Yes.
He takes something that we've heard over the years and refreshes us and brightens us up a little bit more, comes from a different angle, and he knows exactly what we need. Because the thing about the new birth is, and I can say this, I've been around long enough now to see this, people get off balance with it on both sides of the road.
Right.
Some people make it too hard and try to make it something you can earn,
right.
And something that you can do to get.
Uh-huh.
And other people make it where you can compromise the Word of God and accept what you want as long as, you know, as long as you're doing certain things. Right. And neither one is fully right.
Amen. That's right.
You really can't earn the new birth.
No, you can't.
The only thing you really do have to do the new birth is you got to receive the Word.
Amen.
But God's got to quicken it.
Yeah.
God's got to reveal it.
Amen.
God's got to preach to you.
Amen.
You just bring the carcass in and show up and listen and receive the Word. But God is really doing the work.
Amen. Amen.
You do not earn your new birth.
Right.
And people have that kind of messed up some ways. And you know, even in dealing with the message people for 42 years now, I've been around the message for quite a while. And you know, if you read the quotes, and we know this stuff, we haven't talked about it in a while, you'll have quotes before the opening of the seals where Brother Branham will put evidences on things that after the opening of the seals, he changed.
Right.
He did.
Amen.
If you don't believe it, I can read it for you. You know, people don't like hearing that, but Brother Branham had a progressive ministry.
Yes, he did.
Do you know every prophecy that God gave him was exactly right?
Amen.
Every time God dealt with him, it came out exactly right. Every prophecy he gave has come to pass. In the office of a prophet, he was never wrong.
Amen.
But as a man, like you and I, he had mistakes,
Amen.
Could change his mind.
Amen.
I remember reading Perry Green's writing of Brother Branham. I loved how he did it. He used John the Baptist as an example. John the Baptist was a prophet. John the Baptist was one of the comings of Elijah.
Amen.
And John the Baptist introduced the first coming of the Messiah.
Amen.
And did it exactly the way he was supposed to.
Amen.
And did his job exactly right. But that same prophet was in jail.
Right.
Saying, will you go and make sure he's really who we think he is.
Amen.
A prophet.
Right.
So don't tell me a prophet isn't a man.
Amen.
He's a man like you and me that can change his mind.
Amen.
And God can help him progress just like he helps you and I progress.
Amen.
But the reason why it's important to understand that is because we know that God does nothing till he shows us the prophets first.
Right.
We understand that we preach what the prophet preached.
Right.
So we understand it's important to have the Word exactly the way he had it.
Right.
Or we wouldn't be quite right.
Amen.
But when you go read what he said, you'll see something in one place that looks like it's contradicting somewhere in another place. And you got to be able to rightly divide it.
Amen.
And that takes a revelation.
That's right.
Now, don't you worry. I don't expect you don't have to know how to rightly divide everything like a preacher. I'm just telling you, somebody's going to preach a word upon word has got to know how to rightly divide that. Because if you can't, you'll make the new birth something it's not.
Right.
You'll make the evidence of the Holy Ghost something it's not.
Amen.
You'll be having somebody work for the new birth when it doesn't take works to get the new birth.
Amen.
Works come after the new birth.
Amen. That's right.
I love the quote Brother Branham said in the Church Age book. He said, Jesus never emphasized the works like he did the Word. He always emphasized the Word first because he knew if the people got the Word, the works would follow.
Right.
Amen.
That's right.
But people get that backwards. They'll have works before the Word. And people will, because, you know, I was reading some this week. Too many quotes to bring. I was reading before the opening of the seals. Brother Branham was talking a little bit about the evidence and what the new birth will do for you. And he was talking about, he had the fact that speaking in tongues wasn't evidence, right? So he could say that boldly. Speaking in tongues ain't right. But he'd come in and say, but the one thing you will do, you'll have those fruit of the Spirit.
That's right.
And he had that.
Oh, yeah.
You can find that in his quotes for many, many times.
Yes, sir.
Until about 1964, he was in an interview with Lee Bell. And he was talking about, what's the evidence of the Holy Ghost?
Right. There you go.
And he said, Lee Bell, I used to think it was love and the fruit of the Spirit and things. But one day the Lord corrected me on that. It's not the fruit of the Spirit. It's the fact that you can receive the Word for your day and its hour. I'm paraphrasing.
Amen.
But if you go back to 1960 or 61 when he's speaking, you must be born again, he said it a little different than he said in that interview.
That's right.
And you got to know how to rightly divide that. And how you rightly divide that is he was a man that grew up as a Baptist.
Yes.
And thus he had Baptist doctrine. And just like the Bible says, no man can call Jesus a Christ until God shows him, and you can't progress until God reveals it to you. Brother Branham was the same way.
Amen.
Until God would show him the truth, He believed what he believed.
Amen.
And he preached it that way.
Amen.
But you can't stick with that quote when later God helped him out.
Amen.
And progressed him up to the truth.
Amen.
And he later says it's not the fruit of the Spirit, it's receiving the word.
Amen. That's right.
Because that's what you'll find people doing. I know I'm jumping around here, but I'm just trying to lay a little background for you. Because the new birth, and I love what Brother Moore was trying to say, it's simple. And I love the beginning because he said, we try to say thunders and we say mysteries and we say seals, and people don't halfway even know what those terms mean. But really, it's no longer a mystery. Really, it's no longer thunders. Really, it's no longer seals. Seals been broke. The thunders have uttered. It's the voice of God to us. We know what it means now. And it can be so simple that the kid in here can understand it. That's how easy the new birth can be. Because the new birth is just receiving the word for your day and its hour. It just takes one revelation.
That's right.
God to reveal himself to you one time.
That's right.
And that's the new birth.
Amen.
So let me slow down. Because I'll jump way ahead. I want to go to 1 Peter. The first chapter. And read a verse. Should have marked it, but I'm there now. I'm going to read a couple of verses here. I'm going to start with verse 22. Seeing ye have purified your souls in obeying the truth, through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren, see that ye love one another with a pure heart fervently. Now listen to this next verse. Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but incorruptible,
right,
by the word of God,
amen,
which liveth and abideth forever.
There it is.
My title is Being Born Again by the Word of God.
Right. Amen.
And, you know, I want to back up a little bit because I think it's important. You know, I think about my own children. I think about people that may have the new birth or don't know if they have it. You must be born again. Coming to church is not just coming to be seen. Coming to church is not just coming so I can check the box. I'm really here for a reason. And the first reason is I'm trying to seek and find God for myself. You need to have a personal relationship with God for yourself. It's good that your brother has one. It's good that your mom has one. It's good that your dad has one. But you need to get one for yourself. You, individual, must be born again. Yeah, I believe in taking my loved ones. And I know how that works. There might be people that don't darken these doors that'll be in heaven with me. But you realize we always say it, they'll have to have a nature change to get on the other side. They'll have to have their nature change too. But we go to church, we hear the word of God. There's a reason why we come here. We come here to serve God and develop a relationship with God. And that's really what the new birth is about, because the new birth changes your nature from the one that came from your mommy and daddy by sex to God's own life.
Amen.
Oh, when that happens, you can't help but change.
That's right.
You will change. There's a must again.
Amen.
There won't be a maybe. It won't be a might. Once you're born again, you'll have a nature change, and you can't help but change.
Amen.
It happens automatically.
Amen.
Why is that? I'll keep it very simple. If you had the life of somebody that made guns, kids may not know it. That's John Dillinger's brother Ramus used.
Right.
But he said if you had that nature in you,
right,
by nature you would love guns.
Amen.
And you would make guns.
That's right.
It would just be your nature if that's the one that you were given.
Amen.
On the other hand, if your nature was you love music, you would naturally, by nature, play music.
Amen.
That's how nature works. So when the nature of God is on the inside of you, you will automatically change to where you like God-like things automatically.
Amen.
Amen.
That's right.
Amen.
Yes, sir.
Nobody has to force that on you. Nobody has to make that happen. It will happen automatically by the new birth. Now, just because I can feel it, I'll say a couple things to get you relaxed. There's only one evidence of the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
That evidence is being able to punctuate every word of God with an amen.
Amen.
Let me say another thing. What Brother Moore and how he lives may be different than how I live. So it's not that we're even saying that we're all going to be alike and live the same thing.
No,
never take your stake out of the ground with those things, no matter how much a preacher comes in and says you will be different.
That's right.
Tie it back to your revelation.
Amen.
I accept every word of God.
Amen.
I believe every word of God. God has changed my life personally, individually in my life.
Right.
You got to be able to say that for yourself.
Amen.
And no matter how hard the preacher brings it.
Yeah, it right.
Because truth is truth.
Yes, sir.
A believer, you better be able to amen the truth.
Right.
When the preacher says you should not lie, and you got a lying problem, you know what you should be able to do? Amen. When the preacher says you should not steal, and you got a stealing problem, you know what you should be able to do? Amen. I don't care how hard it gets. I don't care how much it skins you. I don't care how much you fail that every day of your life. As a believer, if you're a real believer, you will say amen no matter what. But on the other side of that coin, you want to be better. You have a desire for God. And yet you steal. And 2 days later, you stole again. If you know you're a believer and you know you received the Word of God, the evidence of the Holy Ghost still remains one thing.
Amen.
It's to able to punctuate every word of God with an amen.
Amen.
So even if I can't live up to what amen,
right,
that's not going to take away what I got.
Amen.
You've got to know that for yourself.
Amen.
But on the same token, and this is what I like to be able to say, God's allowed to come in here and preach to you and convict you and change things about you, because that's what he wants out of your life. That's not law. That's not legalism. That's not me trying to condemn you. That's not me trying to make you like me. It's God talking to you. See, that's the problem. Sometimes we forget. Well, it's just Jeremiah tonight. No, I'm out of the way. God's the one that knows and discerns. The word's going out and discerning everybody. Dealing with everybody. And it could go from A to Z. It could be he wants you to sing different. It could be he wants you to go take flute lessons. It could be he wants to just restart whatever. It could be he wants you to stop cutting your hair. But I ain't afraid to say that still. It may be he wants you to stop wearing pants. It may be he wants you to stop wearing shorts. If that's what he wants, we're believers. We're going to amen him and say, what do you want, Lord? Not my will, but thine be done. I ain't afraid of that. See, here's the thing I know I got. I'm a believer. I love God. I've had a new birth for a long time. This thing means more to me than you even mean to me. You'll get your feelings hurt when you try to take this away from me.
Right.
I'll send you on your way.
Amen.
I'll stop whatever I need to stop and what God wants me to stop. I'll do what he wants me to do because I love God.
Amen. That's
right. This ain't worried about hurting feelings. Not when it comes to me and my relationship with God. It's me. It's me. It's me, oh Lord, standing in the need of prayer. As for me and my house. Now, tonight, I have a family that serves God with me. That's my house. We serve God together. I'm thankful. But oh my. And I don't, you know, you say this is hard, but I'm just going to give you the truth. Let my daughter come up and say, I want nothing to do with God. Decide to not serve God when she gets of age. They ain't going to stop me from serving God. I'm going to serve God every day. I was serving God before she was born. I was serving God while she was born. I was serving God when I was raising her. I'm going to serve God when she, if I don't believe she's going to, I'd serve God when she's walking away. You ain't going to stop me from serving God, because that's how serious I am about this thing. So I got a relationship with God. I come to church and let him say, talk to me, Lord. Tell me what you want out of my life. And I still got the same revelation I've always had. I even know my good living is not what's going to bring the rapture on. I know my good living is not going to make me any more worthy for the journey. But if he wants something out of my life so I can help other people, I want to do it. See, that's the thing I've always been tied here. I tie everything back to my revelation. If he comes in here and he preaches something that's hard on me, it don't mean that he ain't preaching it to me, because all of a sudden, Jeremiah, you got to do this or you're holding up the rapture. Don't change your revelation. He might be sneering that and said, eternal life, what did you do for others? I need you to start doing this. Some people need to see this. But with all that said, Brother Moore, still only one evidence. Still only one proof. Still only one way to get a new birth. You don't get the new birth by living good. You don't get the new birth by cleaning up your life. You don't get the new birth by having long hair. You don't get the new birth by not lying. You don't get the new birth by not stealing. See, now I'm coming on the other side. You get the new birth only one way. God comes by your path. He gives you the word. He preaches that word to you. Why? Because faith comes by hearing. And he rides out on that word and he quickens it to you. And you amen that word, and that becomes your first revelation.
Amen.
Brother Branham said God's working on that soul. Soul's in prison. I got the quote. He says he's working on that old nature. He said if he can get it to agree with the word, it just takes one time. He will kill that old nature out and give you a new nature. That's the new birth. It's that simple. You're born again by the word of God. Period. Not born again because you live good. Not born again because you've justified yourself. Not born again because you've tried to sanctify yourself. You're born again by the word of God.
Amen.
You know, Brother Branham made a comment. He says he does the earth, the church, and the individual the same way. Three steps of grace. Justification, sanctification, baptism of the Holy Ghost. And what people do, and I got a quote, he says that, but says in many places. But people will try to make that process sometimes take longer than it has to take. They'll try to get you justified and sanctified and think it's got to take 2 years. And they'll make that justification, that sanctification. You've changed your life. You've all of a sudden lived good. You've worked yourself into it. And that's not what the new birth's about at all. When God comes and changes that nature, he justifies you, sanctifies you, and gives you the baptism of the Holy Ghost just like that.
Amen.
Why? You got a new life. Yeah. And that new life is God's own life. That's a perfect life.
Yeah.
A sinless life.
Amen.
It has everything in it that's about God.
That's right.
Yeah. You say, because I had 1st and 2nd Peter, add to your faith virtue.
Right.
Add to your virtue patience.
Uh-huh.
Add to your patience temperance.
Right.
Brotherly kindness. You know, there was a time when Brother Branham would say you get born again at the bottom and you get faith and you got to get patience and temperance and don't misbehave yourself because you'll fall back down and have to start over. And you had to climb that ladder, get to the top. Then you get born again almost, get a second coming of the Spirit and get sealed in. And that's the problem with people in the message. They've only stayed with those old quotes and they'll try to make this a big, long process where you've tried to work yourself into a new birth. That you got a relationship with God down here, but then you got to live good all of a sudden, and then you're going to get sealed in at the backside. But what really happens is the same God only has to come one time.
Amen.
He doesn't have a need to come twice. He comes one time and gives you that new birth. And when you get that life inside of you is temper, has temperance.
Amen.
It has patience.
Right.
It has godliness.
Yeah.
It has faith.
Right.
And it will start working on the inside out.
Amen.
Exactly when God wants it to.
Exactly.
Not on my timeline. I don't go around looking, well, I don't see enough temperance. I don't see enough patience. No, I know how to judge. I judge no man after the flesh. I judge after the true evidence. Can you punctuate every word with amen? Yeah. That means you got a new nature. That means you got God's own life. That means you have everything you need for the journey.
Amen.
But what people do, talking about the one side, you got to work first.
Yeah.
And I love how Brother Moore used to tell that story. That man would tell him, well, Brother Moore, when I stop this and I do this and I do that, I'll come to church.
Right.
And he never made it, as John just said. But Brother Moore gave him the perfect answer. If you can do that on your own, why do you need God?
Yeah.
But you know, I think it works the opposite. I need a new birth first. I need a nature change first. And then I'll be like the dove that cleans itself inside out. See, that's the thing I love about this thing. This flesh, no matter how good it lives, it's still filthy rags to God. People forget that. Even they went to Jesus one time and said, he called him good master. He said, why callest thou me good? There's none good but God. If you want to be good and perfect and spotless, you need God's own life. Period. And that is what's on the inside of you. This thing still came by sex. It can yield to the devil and it can yield to God. And no matter how clean you make it, it's still got to be changed. But what really happens is you get that nature change on the inside of you. And then from the inside out, things just start happening by nature.
That's right.
Just because I like to make sure people don't go home worrying. You know why I say this is because I've been in this message. I've went home worrying. I've went home with creeds and dogmas. I've went home thinking, yeah, I believe I got a new birth. But I don't know that I've manifested this as fast as so-and-so manifested it. I'm not so sure I lived up to this like so-and-so's living up to this. And walking out here thinking I got the new birth, still holding on to evidence. Maybe I haven't changed quick enough. People, it's all in God's time. It'll be all right. Fearfully and wonderfully made. I know one thing. I can't live good enough to make it. And I can't live bad enough to miss it. That's still true tonight, as it was true the first time I heard it. My good living or bad living is not what's going to make me get there and make me miss this thing. I'm going because I've been born again, and I got God's own life. And if I got God's own life, that means he foreknew me and predestinated me and called me and justified me and already glorified me as far as he's concerned. That's how it works.
Amen.
But it'll start working inside out. And just the way it works. But people try to work it outside in.
That's right.
But that's not how it works. The Bible clearly says, you're born again by the Word of God.
Amen.
You know, that one scripture right there is simple enough for me. It didn't say you're born again because you first lived good. You first cleaned up your life. It says you're born again by the Word of God.
Amen.
And why he said uncorruptible seed is a lot of people preach a lot of creeds and dogmas.
Right.
Corruptible seed. That seed's the word.
Right.
Sower went forth to sow.
Right.
And denominations will give you a lot of corruptible seed.
Right.
And you know, they will have in what we call a change in life on their first two rims. People will hear that and get anointed by it, so to speak,
right,
and change certain things. But that's just on those outside two rims. But that true new birth works all the way down to the inside of the inside and gives you a real nature change. And that happens by the perfect, pure word of God for your day and its hour.
Amen.
Amen. Let me read a quote. One of Brother Moore's favorite. Should be all of our favorites. Because this is good. Christ is the mystery of God revealed. What is the new birth then? You say, Brother Branham, what is the new birth? It is the revelation of Jesus Christ personally to you.
Amen.
Amen. See, for the second time, I'm not going to read it, but before he talked about fruit of the Spirit, before he talked about climbing those seven steps, when God cleared him up,
amen.
What's the new birth, Brother Branham?
Yeah.
Not those seven steps anymore. It's not manifesting the fruit of the spirits anymore. It's a revelation of Jesus Christ personally to you. Amen.
Amen.
Not you joined a church. You shook a hand. You done something different. You said a creed. You promised to live by a code of rules. But Christ, the Bible, he is the Word. Being born again by the Word, that was revealed to you.
Amen.
The new birth is the revealing of the Word to you,
the Bible.
And no matter what anybody says,
right,
what takes place,
right,
is Christ, pastor, priest, whatever it might be, is Christ in you.
Amen.
And that's the revelation that the church was built up on.
Amen.
You know what you'll find sometimes is people will preach that good living without a revelation. And what they don't even realize, because they got intellectual conception of it, when they preach it, they're really preaching condemnation on you.
Oh, yeah.
Because they don't have a revelation. Because if you preach good living, it's really to help you.
Right.
Just to help you be a good neighbor, help your life be a little easier, help you help somebody else. You know, good living ain't never really meant to, I'm going to condemn you, not when we got the grace of God coming. But people with an intellectual conception, but more, they'll preach that because they read it in quote books and they read it in Paul's writing at times and Moses' writing in the Bible, but have no revelation what it's supposed to be used for. And so what they end up doing, trying to do God a service and get it all messed up because they put a code of rules on you that Brother Branham just said here. And that's not really what it was ever meant for in the first place. And what they preach is condemnation.
Amen.
And really what God wants to do, he wants to preach the word. And it ain't always, like I always say, it ain't always just because I got pants on.
Right.
And sometimes you went on a bus trip and gave up your whole weekend.
Right.
That the rest of the world wouldn't have gave up. And they would have said, ride a bus for 10 hours, and ended up being 12. And had to hang out with people that long. The world don't do that.
No, they don't.
They're selfish.
Yeah.
They want their own time.
Right.
But you're a believer. You love God. That's good living too, right there.
Amen.
It covers so many things.
Yes.
That's why people misjudge. But they'll put a code of rules on you when really what God's trying to do is he's just trying to help you. He wants to convict you. I love the way that got answered. It's about conviction, not condemnation.
Amen.
If it's condemnation, that's the devil.
That's right.
But the Bible tells me there's therefore now no condemnation.
Amen.
To them that walk after Christ.
Amen.
And not after the flesh.
Right.
Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It's Christ that justifies. So condemnation no, ain't coming from God to me. He'll preach to me to help me and convict me.
Amen.
So you got to rightly balance. But what people try to do with an intellectual conception, they'll read real Brother Branham said, fruit of the Spirit, or you got to live this way. It's the truth. You got to live that way. But they don't have no revelation what Brother Branham really was trying to get you to. And they'll put condemnation on you.
Amen.
But Brother Branham just made it real simple. Not because you shook a hand. It's not because you joined the church. You're not born again just because you come to 1744 Superior Avenue. The Word of God has to be revealed to you.
Amen.
It only takes one revelation.
Right.
You know, in the Believer's Corner, we had wrote some things on a new birth. And then there's somebody wrote, and I don't remember who wrote this. It might have been, it just takes one revelation. You don't have to understand the whole book. You don't have to understand all 1,100 message books. You don't have to rightly divide it like a preacher needs to be able to do. You just need one revelation from God.
Amen.
It probably was Brother Moore, because the first thing the actor said, you might be the one to recognize your heart was turned back like children. That sounds like Brother Moore to me.
Right.
You might be the one to recognize your son of man. That sounds like me, because that was mine. But and some of you might, as John one time said, might not even remember which one it was.
Right.
But you're sitting here today knowing you received the Word of God.
Amen.
But the thing I'm trying to do is make it easy.
Right.
I'm trying to make it simple. It's this Bible being preached to you and God revealing it to you.
Amen.
That's all it takes to get new born. That being born again by the Word of God.
Amen.
Not by your good living.
No.
Not because you live by a code of rules. Not because you try to work yourself up to some ladder. No, it's God come visit you and quicken his word to you and revealed it to you. And that constitutes the new birth.
Amen.
Oh, that gets me excited.
Oh, yeah.
I've been eating on this for a long time.
Oh, yeah.
But see, I was one of the ones that was trying to climb up the ladder.
Right.
I was one of the ones that thought I had to earn myself the new birth.
Right.
I was one of the ones that thought I climbed up a little bit and fell back down to the bottom.
Right.
Trying to do good and then made the same mistake.
Amen.
But one day I got a real revelation, Brother Deskins.
Yeah.
It wasn't nothing I could do to get the new birth. I couldn't earn the new birth.
Amen.
I couldn't live good enough for the new birth.
Right.
I couldn't join a church for the new birth.
Right.
I couldn't read I could read all 1,100 message books and still not get the new birth.
Right.
It takes God to reveal the word to you.
Amen.
To bring forth
Amen.
The new birth.
Amen.
Oh, you say, well, how do I know he revealed the word to me? You just know because one day you're going to hear scripture.
Come on.
You're going to hear the word.
Right.
And you're going to say, wait a minute, that's talking about me.
Yeah.
And it don't have to constitute one, my scripture. You could be sitting out there tonight and God told me that I'm part of the bride of Jesus Christ. And I can see it talks about a bride in the Bible. That's who I am.
Amen.
Oh, that's all it takes.
That's all.
Just one quickening of that word. And it changes that old nature. Oh, you don't have to do a bunch of things to get this new birth. Just show up and listen to the Word of God.
Amen.
And accept that Word of God.
Yes.
Let it become a revelation to you.
Amen.
And you'll get everything you need.
Amen.
To go to heaven.
Amen.
Oh, that gets me stirred up.
Yes, sir.
Oh, but justification, sanctification, baptism, the Holy Ghost, new birth I'm talking about. Make those all three happen just like that.
Amen.
Oh, you got to climb up the ladder. I'm here to tell you, when He came in my life, all those virtues are on the inside of me. Because I got God's nature.
Amen.
And what Peter said, if you read that scripture, so you can be part of the divine nature.
Yeah.
Well, you know what I got inside of me? The divine nature. Now, I have flesh. And there might be times in my flesh I lose patience.
That's right.
I don't look too godly.
Yeah.
But I'm here to tell you, on the inside of the inside, I got a nature, Brother Moore. That's God's own nature.
Yeah.
That amens every word of God. Has a natural by nature desire to be the Word of God.
Right.
It has everything in it it's supposed to be.
Amen.
The manifestation of things on the outside is just when the inside responds to the Word and it just starts taking over your life.
Right.
Starts changing it.
Yes.
But even if I make the mistake, same mistake tomorrow, I know I got a new birth.
Amen.
I got the divine nature in me. I got everything I need.
Amen.
For the journey. Oh, thank God for that revelation. Don't take that for granted.
Yes,
but sometimes God's just looking out for you. You might think you know the new birth. Next thing you know, somebody's coming in here and trying to make it something that's not.
Right.
And you're thinking, why are we talking about the new birth again? Because God sees around corners.
Amen.
God's watching out for you.
Amen.
God's seeing people trying to make you work to your new birth.
Right.
Trying to walk some process for your new birth.
Right.
And God says, I'm not going to let you think that.
Right.
I don't want you condemned.
Amen.
I don't want to make this thing hard. Matter of fact, I want to go back and make it simple again.
Amen.
What was the scripture you read? Paul one time said, I'm just going to preach Jesus Christ and Him crucified.
Amen.
You can get born again on that if you need to.
That's right.
It don't take anything else but Jesus Christ crucified and that He died for you.
Amen.
Right.
That's right.
Right.
You say, but we're up here in the bride age. Yeah, but you can become a part of the bride if He didn't die for you.
Amen.
So put that right back in the devil's mouth and tell him to shut up.
Amen.
Brother Moore told him, sit in the corner. If Christ didn't come for me and get crucified and pay the price,
right.
I couldn't have even been born again and taken on a divine nature.
That's, right.
That's enough for me to win because I know who I am.
Yes,
and so God watches out for us. He'll go back simple again. So we're going to talk about the new birth.
Right.
Don't try to justify yourself. Don't try to sanctify yourself. You get that by the Word of God.
Amen.
God does the work.
Amen.
He starts helping you out. He's the only thing that can destroy that old soul anyhow. Because you could break all the outside, do all those things, but if the inside's still the old nature, it is dead.
Amen.
That's what Jesus said. You're white as sepulchres.
Yep.
Got the outside painted white.
Oh my,
looking nice. But on the inside, full of dead man's bones. I'd rather have the opposite. I'd rather have the life on the inside, working on the outside. And the outside might look like it needs windows, you got cracked glass, got a door needs painted, got siding that's ripping off, got shingles that need replaced. But I got life on the inside. Because you know what life on the inside means? One day I can replace those shingles. One day I can replace those glass windows. One day I can paint that door. But if I can have it as clean as it can be and you take life out of a house, this isn't a natural. Have the perfect house.
Right.
Have it painted.
Yeah.
Have the perfect kitchen.
Yeah.
You take life out of that house and leave it long enough, it'll fall apart.
Yeah.
But you take a house that's messed up,
buy
one that needs work,
yeah.
and you put life on the inside of it,
all
that house can get changed.
Yeah.
And it takes time.
Yes,
God works like that too. He does that on purpose.
Uh-huh.
Works, builds character in you,
yeah.
builds patience in you. It makes people not be able to figure Him out. He likes to keep people guessing. He really only talking to believers anyhow. He's got all kinds of reasons for why He takes it. He wants the spiritual type, the natural. But when I move into a house that I bought for a rebuild, I'll take a rental. I bought some bad ones. But you know what? I can put life in it. It took me time. Didn't even happen in one day, Brother Deskin. But in time, it made it look nicer. We want that life on the inside. The outside might look bad. As long as that life's on the inside, you get that new nature in there. It'll take care of the outside.
Yeah.
from the inside out. You know, at least in the houses I bought, this is my personality in the natural. I start working where I live first. Oh, well, I work on the inside first. You know, I can make that shutters look good, but if I'm laying in a bedroom with the dirtiest carpet and nasty and all kinds of mess around me, I can't sleep, no matter how pretty the outside looks. Me and my wife talk about this all the time. I got a garage in the back and needs a new garage door and it needs siding, but I ain't done it yet. I thought I'd need to do that from the moment I've lived there, but I've had other things that's priority, Brother Desmond. I needed some new carpet in the house. I needed a new floor in the house. I wanted to paint some walls in the house. The house needed a roof on it. There's a priority to these things. And God knows every priority we need in our life. He knows the order we need things done. He knows how to work on us. We're fearfully and wonderfully made. He knows exactly what He's doing. And what we'll do is we'll work on the outside of the house. But what we need is life on the inside. And that's what the new birth's all about. You need to get that new nature first. Get the word revealed to you first, and then all the works that God wants out of your life will automatically follow. And the real works, anyhow, is the message of the hour. The real works is just getting the dead up. The real works is manifest in Luke 17:30. The real works is your day and its hour.
That's right. Amen. There you go.
That's the real works. Because that's what Jesus said. How do I work the works of God? Believe on Him who the Father sent. You know what Brother Bram said? The man and his message is the same. Well, Jesus is really telling you, get the message. Get the word of the hour. Do that. That's the real works of God. You know, being a good neighbor, that's really just helping others. That's what that's about. It's helping and living for others, being a light, keeping you out of trouble so you can do the job you need to do. But the real works that God wants done over top of anything, He wants us to get the debt up, Brother Moore. We can sit here and live good and do all the things Brother Bram told us to do and be preaching Malachi 4 only and not be working on getting the debt up, and we wouldn't be doing what God wants us to do.
Amen.
But you know what, Brother Duskin? If we're over in Revelations 10:8-11, taking the book and eating it up, prophesying again, trying to talk like that and be that and live in that, trying to get the debt up, which is my real emphasis anyhow, I'm right where God wants me.
Amen.
The rest will follow as He sees fit. But the one thing He wants done for sure, whether I live good or bad, is to go in my day and its hour and manifest the word for my day and its hour. That's where real good living comes into play. You can clean somebody up and they're preaching sanctification and Wesley's message. You can clean somebody up and all they got is a Lutheran doctrine. The Pope, Brother Moore said, down there lives good, and he's got Catholic doctrine. What you need is somebody that gets born again off the word of the hour, manifesting the word in their day, and doing the job God wants done right now. We always use Noah. Noah drank. He had problems. But you know the one thing he had right? The most important thing he had right is he built that ark. God said a flood is coming. He got the word for that day. Yeah, Noah should have not drank. And I'm sure in those 120 years, God changed things about Noah. Said, you need to do this different, do this different. But I'm going to tell you what God was really about. Get that ark built. Because the rain's coming. And build it just like this. I ain't going to say what I was going to think, but Noah might have been doing wrong while he's building the ark. But all I'm going to tell you is he built that ark. He recognized his day and his message. He walked in that ark. And when everybody else was on the outside of that ark, he was on the inside, sealed in, couldn't get out, couldn't get in, completely sealed in, all because he got the word for his day and his hour. Oh my, you get that new birth. You recognize your day and its message. The word for your hour gets revealed to you, and it becomes one with you. You're sealed in. Devil can't even get in. Don't care how, try as much as he tries to mess you up. New birth is a personal revelation of Jesus Christ to you.
Yes.
And in the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. And the Word was God. And the Word was made flesh.
Yes.
That Word being revealed to you is what this new birth is.
Amen.
Don't make it anything else.
That's right.
Let me throw a couple witnesses in here because they're just good.
Right.
St. John, the 5th chapter. I got a couple quotes I want to read for you, too. I got one I had never seen before I liked. St. John 5:24. Verily, verily, I say unto you, He that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. Heareth my word. Receive my word. Pass from death unto life. Born again. You hath he quickened. Ephesians 2, I always love that. You hath he quickened. Let's read that one for a minute. That'll help people out too. I'm telling you, I just believe God watches out for us. He tries to just make sure we understand what the real new birth is, so no devil in hell can try to convince us otherwise. Ephesians 2, verse 1, and you hath he quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in times past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we had our conversation in time past in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling desires of the flesh and the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. You know, Paul really went through the three realms right there. Flesh, spirit, and soul right there. Flesh, the mind, the spirit, and the nature is the soul. But God, not man who lived good, but God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved, and hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding richness of his grace and his kindness towards us through Jesus Christ. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. I'm going to read a little bit more here, but I just want to stop there for a minute. You don't work your way into this gift. You don't earn this gift. You don't clean up your life first to get the gift. God gives you a gift. That's what a gift's about. Amen. And you get that gift because you heard his word and he gave it to you. Amen. That's how you're saved. Amen. Just another witness for us. Amen. But here, after you get that gift, listen to what Paul said. I like this week as I study. For we are his workmanship. Yes. Created. Yes. Means I have a new nature. Right. In Christ Jesus. Oh. Unto good works. Yeah. He brings that to pass after the fact I got the nature. Amen. That nature is what brings it to pass. Amen. Don't get the cart before the horse. Get the horse before the cart. Amen. Get the new nature first, and you'll automatically have something in you that was created. Amen. That's God's own life. Yeah. That's good all the time.
Amen.
Even when my flesh yields to the devil, that nature in there is good all the time.
Amen.
He creates you into good works after he changes you. Not the opposite way. You've earned yourself and did good work so you could boast.
Right.
It's a gift of God.
Right. Yes. That's right.
Not what you can earn. All right. We're going to close here shortly. Brother Moore talked about the dove, clean on the inside out. This is a church age book. He says, Brother Ram says, now we have been constantly saying, I'm just going to read these first two lines, saying that the true evidence of being baptized with the Holy Ghost is for the believer to receive the word for the age in which he lives.
Amen.
Period. He didn't go on talk about climbing seven steps. He didn't go on and say it's the fruit of the Spirit. You can find places where he'll talk about those things will follow. But when he's talking about being baptized with the Holy Ghost and having the true evidence of what being baptized with the Holy Ghost means,
right,
it's receiving the word for the age which you live in.
Amen.
Period.
Amen.
You might, God might convict you later and have you do certain things. He might work on you and rebuke you to have you do certain things, and you'll respond to that. But that still has nothing to do with the new birth in the sense that that's what brings it.
Amen.
That's just stuff that happens because you're a believer and want to do things for God and he talks to you.
Right.
The new birth, though, still comes the same way by the word of God. You get a personal revelation of the Word of God.
That's right.
Now, last quote, this is the one. I don't know if they recorded this or what, but the voice of God's put this interview. I think it might be the little woman in the interview, the masterpiece they're talking about. They put that out on the actual message where the interview goes back and forth. And whether we can confirm or not, so I won't go to seat on this. What he says in here runs with everything else he says.
Amen.
And that's what matters.
Amen.
But I just thought I'd read this to you because it was kind of nice to hear what Brother Ram said. Let me find it here. If I can find it. If I can't find it, then here it is. A private interview. 1964. Private interview. William Marion Branham. Sister Georgia Bruce says, Brother Branham, most of all, I want the experience that I've been sealed in the Holy Ghost. And if God will reveal it to your heart. That was her. Brother Branham says, I believe with all my heart that you're a real born-again believer. Sister Bruce. How could that spirit just leave? See, he's trying to tell you, you know, people think, well, you were born again, but then you live bad enough, and the spirit leaves. Did I keep it? Brother Branham says, how could that spirit just leave? When you get sick, you get weary. Now he's talking to her just about our human nature. You're a nervous type person. Sister Bruce says, yes. See, and you get things in your mind, little bitty things. And it just keeps building up both ways. You get somebody in your heart, you want to pray for them, get up and pray for them. You can't rest until you get that person prayed for. That's you. You take the other side. Satan may be presenting something to you out of this way. He's saying Satan's the opposite way, see? And in your nature, see? He's saying you get nervous. In other words, don't worry about that. And God works, and then Satan works, and then Satan tries to make you believe that you're not. You keep building this, and maybe this and this. Don't look at yourself, Sister Bruce. Remember, I'm fixing to pray for you. I'm not worthy of that. What would I do if Jesus Christ was sitting here now? What would he do if he was sitting here? He'd lay his hands upon you with his great faith, seeing you get well. And I come to represent him. But remember, me being a sinner before God, I'm not a sinner, neither are you. We got a blood sacrifice. God don't even see us. He hears our voice, but he sees the blood of Christ. He sees the blood of his own son. It's our voice, Christ's blood. Then it's Christ that's walking through us to God. So therefore, we're not sinners no more. We are Christians. And I believe you to be a genuine Christian woman. Sister Bruce says, I make so many mistakes. And I fail so many times. This is what Brother Brown says. That's why Christ had to die. So that you, with your mistakes, wouldn't be lauded to you. See, he took your mistakes. Your desire in your heart is to serve him. Sister Bruce says, yes, all right. That's what he died for, so you could serve him. Your mistakes are not looked, not lauded to you. He is your propitiation. He's your sin offering. Your sins are not known. You're not a sinner before God. God, Christ took your sins and became you because your desire is to serve him. Brother Rance, or she says, but I've never had an experience that I've been filled with the Holy Ghost that I can put my foot on. All right, notice. Ordinarily, a human being is born in sin, shaped and made to come, the world speaking lies. That's the nature of a human being. Sister Bruce says, yes, that was your nature. It changed once. But what changed it? She says, Christ. He says, there you go, sister. He that heareth my words and believeth on him that sent me hath eternal life and shall not come to the judgment, but hath, past tense, passed from death unto life.
Amen.
I think that's pretty good. He's staying a little, but I make so many mistakes, God don't even see it. Oh, I can't put my finger because she wanted to feel something. That's human. I want to know. And Brother Brandon went right around me. It's so simple. He changed your nature. How that happened? You heard my words. You received my word. You passed from death unto life. I know in some ways I feel like I jumped around, but it's all the same point. You're being born again by the word of God. I'm just trying to get and help you understand that it ain't good works that got you born again. You did some process to get born again. God come down and did the process. He justified you, sanctified you, and gave you baptism in the Holy Ghost just like that because you received the word.
Amen.
And that life on the inside, it really has everything in it it's supposed to be.
Right.
Sometimes it just don't always look that way because this flesh can go to the devil or Satan. And it can be yielded to whoever.
Right.
But that ain't the evidence of the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
The flesh automatically lusts against the spirit. It's going to just naturally by nature do that. It's going to be sticky your whole life. So don't get condemned. Like I said, always remember that stake.
Yeah.
I recognize my day and his message.
Yeah.
I accept every word of God.
Amen.
I don't care how hard somebody preaches and I don't live up to it. I know who I am.
Amen.
All the other stuff is just God needs a conviction to change your life when he wants to. That's on his time.
Yep.
And we as believers will love him and say amen.
Amen.
But as I was saying, even then, the real true job, get the dead up.
Amen.
That's the real true job.
Amen.
And we know it. But thank God we understand what the real new birth is. Thank God Brother Childers understood Brother Branham preached two coming spirit and God corrected him to one coming.
Amen.
He's not born again at the bottom and do all this good works and get sealed at the top. This takes one coming. One time. receive the word. He'll do all the sealing and give you everything you need. That takes the work out of it. That takes your good living out of it. That takes your earning out of it. What happens, you'll get a new nature. And as we started, you will automatically start changing by nature. Not because you worked it up yourself. What you can stop, you'll start. What you can start, you can stop. I can go to a psychology person and do some of that without God. But oh my, when God does something, he does it right. And when he gave me that new nature, he took my old nature, put it in a sea of forgiveness to never be held against me again. Took care of my past, my present, and my future. I don't want to just be justified, sanctified, and take care of my past and present.
No.
I want all three taken care of.
Amen.
I want to be sealed.
Amen.
Can't live good enough to make it missing.
Amen.
It ain't what I can do, it's what he's done for me.
Right.
Can't be charged. Nothing can be charged to God's elect. And then I'll just by nature want to serve him because I love him.
Amen.
That's how it works.
Amen.
Not the opposite way around, that you figured out how to live good first. No, let him give you that new nature first. The rest will take care of itself. God bless you. Come on, Pastor Warren.
Why would you struggle when it's so balanced? I don't know where the songbook is, but I guess we'll use this one. Why would you struggle when it's so balanced? You know, and people do it all the time, and it's because they put their own thinking on it. And they put their own tradition on it, and they come back with their own works. And when they finally get it done, it's like, I got to do this, I got to do that. But really, there's nothing you can do. I was thinking about the scripture Jeremiah read. It said, people get confused because they think that because you did something wrong, or because you did this, or because you did that, you get it or lose it, or you never had it, none. And they judge themselves in and out, up and down, back and forth, and they go all over the place. And I was sitting there thinking about, you know, the scripture that Jeremiah quoted. It said, to whom you yield your members, his servant you are. Well, I was sitting there, I was thinking, just because you work for somebody doesn't mean they own you. We think that that means that if you yield yourself, then you belong to them. No, you're just working for them. You could work for God or you can work for the devil. You say, well, how can you work for the devil if you belong to God? To whom you yield your members. What members? These members. See, that's where people have trouble rightly dividing. They think, oh, you're going to be saved, you won't have no problems. No, you get saved, you're going to have problems because that's when you're going to first start fighting. And you're going to have to press and push to yield your members to the right one. I mean, that ain't going to be a given. That's where the battle comes in. That's where the fight comes in. You don't even begin to fight until you're born again.
Amen.
You know, when you're on the devil's team, he ain't worried about tackling you. But then once you get on the other team, you're on God's team, then he's going to try to hit you, knock you down, and tackle you. So, see, that's the thing is. But the thing is, when you're born again, you're only born again once. And from that point on, you will do what God wants. You say, is he going to make me? No. Your desire is to want to do it. You know how you feel when you come to church and you get raked over the coals? You don't just throw in a towel. You say, man, I can do better. Because that desire is to do better. Believers don't do what they do because they want to do the wrong thing. They want to do the right thing. And that's what the new birth is about. And once you're born again, you're going to heaven. He may have to whip you all the way there. And you might be hard-headed and you say, oh, but I always listen to what God says and I always do the right thing and I don't ever get upset and I just shut up, liar. You know, you just need to understand how it works. And only the believers can really see how it works. Everybody else will resort back to works of some type. And because it's just man's nature to want to try to do something. And, you know, God, he takes care of it all. But then because I know he takes care of it all, I turn around and want to do for him. I want to live for him. I want to be somebody that somebody can look at and find God in. I was at work today, and I was supposed to be doing somewhere, and a lady come in, and she wanted me to move her in, and I was supposed to be somewhere at 4, and she came into my office about 3:40 or something like that. So I just thought, oh, well, we're going to do this. She said, look at God. God, she was just praising God. And I said, okay, I'm just going to stay here and do this. But, you know, give people a chance to see God moving through your life. You don't want them always to see the devil, and you want them to see God. You want them to see you yielding your members to God. I mean, that's really what we want. But whether you do or don't, it doesn't change your soul. Brother Fred said something this weekend, and I just looked. I didn't even turn around. I didn't want to see what people thought about it. I thought, ooh, that was a tough one for a message. But he said, you could be sitting in here in a pair of pants. A woman could be sitting here in a pair of pants and get the Holy Ghost. I thought, ooh. That's hard on us message people. Because it's not about what's going on outside. Now, will he start working with you? Yeah, because you want to be an example. You want to do the right thing. You want to dress right. You want to be right. You want to do the right thing. But that ain't going to stop God. That ain't going to... Oh, I guess I shouldn't have sent that over the internet. I just thought of that. That ain't going to stop God. If you are a believer of the Word of God, you're going to believe and receive the Word of God. And then when the Word is in there, it's going to do all kind of things on you. It's going to take you over. It's going to change your taste buds. It's going to change your desires. It's going to change your focus. It's going to change everything. Because you got him living in there. When I moved to my house, like Jeremiah said, when the new owner moves into the house, he changes everything. He changes to make that house what he wants it to be. And the owner of the house is bigger and stronger than the house itself. Amen. You say, now, this is a big house. Doesn't matter. I'm changing the color. Doesn't matter. I'm throwing some bushes in the yard. Don't matter. You do what you want because you're the owner of that house. And with every new owner comes a new look. We drove by my house the other day, my old house. Well, where I used to live. And I looked, they got this big fence up, and they got this black painted post, and it got, I'm like, oh. I'd have never done that to that house, but you know what? It ain't my house. I don't have a thing to say about it. There's a new owner in there. So what, they put a swing on the porch that's got a cover on it? Why you got a porch swing with a cover on it, under a cover? But that's, you know, that's just me. But that's the way it is. You know, when you get the new owner in there, you make the house what you want it. And nobody else has a thing to say about it. We think we do, but we really don't. We got opinions, but it ain't worth nothing. You know, if God's moved into your house, he's going to make you what he wants it to be. That's what the new birth will do. And you don't have to be nervous. Oh, is God going to do it? Oh, he will do it. He'll take over. You will change. You will be God. You will be the Word made flesh. And that's just it. That's just it. And if you say, well, you know, well, I don't want to be that way. Well, it doesn't matter because you're not the owner of the house. He'll make you dress like he wants you to dress. He'll make you look like he wants you to look. He'll make you talk like he wants you to talk. He'll do that. Because he's in there. You say, well, I don't want to. I don't care what you want. He's going to do with your house what he wants to do. So you might as well get ready because it's his. Amen. Come on, musicians. If he can't, he don't own it. God changes every house he owns. Good to be home. Thank you for all of you that got to go to South Carolina. And those who didn't get to go, God bless you. Thank you for holding down the fort at home. At least we come back to a place. And, you know, we really enjoyed ourselves. And it was good to be able to take the whole body and show you off to people to let them know that they're believers here. You say, well, they got this problem. They got that problem. Well, you got this problem and you got that problem. It doesn't matter. You get all the believers in the same place and worshiping God together. That's what it's about. Fred ain't trying to steal my people. I ain't trying to steal his people. And we met some good brothers, some from Florida and some from North Carolina and a couple churches from North Carolina. So, you know, New York. And so there's a good group there. And we had a good time. And more than likely, maybe, I don't know, after I preach Saturday night, they might not want me to come. I just thought, about it. Well, maybe I'll go somewhere, maybe not. But they said they were going to get in touch with me. And maybe we'll have some other places that we might want to go and share. But it was good to meet them. Fred told me he had some good brothers he wanted me to meet, and he was right. And I appreciate Fred, all that he and B did, you know, and opening their doors. And they gave us sandwiches on Saturday night, packets to take back to the hotel, and gave us a good Southern meal on Sunday, which included rutabagas, which I hadn't had in years. And they were good ones too. They were good. So that's Southern food for you. But we really enjoyed the trip. I appreciated our driver.
Amen.
Lorenzo, man's got the patience of Job. Hey. Driving like he did, when the weather got a little wicked, he just slowed down and kept on going and didn't never stopped and tried to just say, well, I can't do this. No, he was, and he appreciated all the support that you all gave him, because I guess y'all all fed him. He's like, he got food from everybody. People kept giving him food. So it was good to be able to let him see a little something, you know, because, you know, driving a bus like that, you run into all kind of people. And to take 46 people down South Carolina and back, and y'all acted like saints of God. And I'm sure he appreciated it, and it was good. I'm glad we got to do it.
Yes,
amen.
Thank you.
And so just keep South Carolina in your prayers.
Yes.
Fred got the card from the driver, and talking about trying to take a bus up here in the spring. They want to actually do a meeting here in the spring. So I told him, whenever, you know, we can do it around Easter, Memorial Day, any day. He said, as long as it's not snow. So so maybe, Lord willing, in 2023, we might hold a meeting here. You never know. It was good. The church was packed, probably. They say 300, but I don't know. There's a bunch of people there. It was a bunch. And it was a really good meeting. And I enjoyed all my brothers and was glad to meet them. So. Thank you for going. Keep them in your prayers. Keep us all in your prayers. Amen. I want to live the way he wants me to live. That's easy. That's the desire right there. I can never, ever outlove the Lord. That's all you can do, is just live like he wants you to. And when he calls for something, don't pout about it. Just give it to him. Because he's going to get it anyway. He's going to have his way. He's going to get his. So just sing the song with me. I want to live the way. He said, well, I don't want to sing that song. But he might as well, because he's going to get it. I want to live the way he wants me to live. And I want to give until there's just no more. Yeah.